Here's your fair value brief for Saturday, August 29, 2026. Bitcoin and Ethereum each slipped about 3% Friday, but the real action was in stablecoins. Circle issued $5 billion in new USDC this week, pushing the total supply to $303.71 billion. That's a sign institutions are gearing up, whether for confidence or caution, we don't know yet. Oil's still stuck in the Strait of Hormuz standoff. Brent crude climbed 2% Friday to $89.70, but only 5 tankers made it through the strait this week, down from 130 before the war. War risk insurance is still running at 7.5 to 10% of hull value. That's 40 times normal. Traders aren't betting on Iran truce talks reopening the route anytime soon. And the dollar? Still strong. US dollar to Japanese yen touched 160.04 overnight, while the DXY index held at 99.16. Safe haven demand is keeping it up, with Russia's strikes on Kyiv and the Strait of Hormuz closure weighing on risk appetite. Fed Chair Warsh's Jackson Hole remarks didn't help either. He made it clear the dollar's dominance isn't going anywhere. Now, to the markets. Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's speech at Jackson Hole changed the game. He called inflation uncomfortably high and made it clear the Fed's work is not yet done. The shift was immediate. Traders now see a 57% chance of a September rate hike, up from 35% just a day earlier. The 2-year Treasury yield jumped to 4.35%, while mortgage rates stayed stuck near 6.66%. But the bigger stories unfolding in crypto, Forex, and commodities, where liquidity moves are hinting at something bigger. Commodities are still under pressure. Brent crude rose 2% Friday to $89.70, but the Strait of Hormuz bottleneck isn't easing. Only 5 tankers got through this week, compared to 130 before the conflict. War risk insurance is still sky high, at 7.5 to 10% of hull value. That's 40 times the usual rate, and it tells you traders aren't buying the optimism around Iran truce talks. Copper, meanwhile, dipped a little Friday, but is still up 5% over the past month. Supply disruptions in Chile and Peru are driving it, and that's a problem for AI data centers. If copper keeps climbing, it could squeeze margins at Nvidia and AMD. But the real headline grabber? Crypto's stablecoin surge. Circle minted $5 billion in new USDC this week, pushing total stablecoin supply to $303.71 billion. The timing's no coincidence. The Clarity Act, a bill that could finally clarify stablecoin regulations, is in a critical phase. So is this liquidity a confidence signal or a volatility hedge? Right now, it looks like both. Geopolitics is adding another layer of complexity. Russia's drone strikes on Kyiv stretched into a second day, while Switzerland's neutrality referendum could unravel EU sanctions. In the Middle East, the US is looking at pipeline alternatives to bypass the Strait of Hormuz, though energy analysts aren't holding their breath. And then there's Venezuela. The US is in advanced talks to take control of its oil reserves, a move President Trump says will substantially lower gas prices. If it happens, it'll be the biggest shift in Venezuela's oil sector in decades. The VIX closed at 14.51 Friday, its lowest in months. That's a sign of complacency, but it's also a reminder that calm markets often come before sharp moves. With no major economic data or Fed speeches today, all eyes are on geopolitics, crypto liquidity, and whether oil's Friday gains can hold. Buckle up, this weekend's all about the headlines. Here's the big story. Stablecoins are now crypto's defining battleground. Bitcoin and Ethereum dropped about 3% Friday, but the real action was in stablecoins. Circle issued $5 billion in new USDC this week, pushing total stablecoin supply to $303.71 billion. That's not speculative cash, it's institutions getting ready for what's next. And what's next could hinge on the Clarity Act. This bill is nearing a decision on stablecoin rewards, a long-standing regulatory hurdle. If it passes, it removes a major barrier to mainstream adoption, potentially unlocking Wall Street's deeper entry into digital assets. But not everyone's on board. JP Morgan and other banking giants have called interest-bearing stablecoins dangerous and undesirable, lobbying to ban yields entirely. Their argument? It's unregulated banking. The tension is clear. Crypto wants into traditional finance, but Wall Street isn't ready to share control. The market's reaction, or lack of it, is telling. Bitcoin and Ethereum are trading in tight ranges despite the liquidity surge. Traders are waiting for the Clarity Act's final language. A balanced outcome could trigger a flood of capital into crypto, lifting everything from DeFi to AI-driven blockchain projects. A restrictive ruling? That might spark a pullback. This isn't just a crypto story. It's about the future of money. Stablecoins are too big to ignore, but still too risky for regulators to fully embrace. The next 48 hours could determine whether this $5 billion influx is a turning point or a false start. Key watch. The Clarity Act's stablecoin rewards decision is coming soon. A favorable ruling could spur a quick rebound in Bitcoin and Ethereum as institutions deploy capital. A restrictive outcome might trigger a sharp correction. Either way, stablecoins have become crypto's most pivotal sector. Now, the big picture. The dollar's still calling the shots, driven by geopolitical chaos, from Russia's strikes on Kyiv to the Strait of Hormuz closure, all of its fueling safe haven demand. The DXY index is holding near 99.2, a level that supports U.S. assets but tightens financial conditions globally, raising borrowing costs for emerging markets and corporations. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.72%, keeping mortgage rates elevated, around 6.66% for a 30-year loan, and pressuring stock valuations. After Fed Chair Warsh's hawkish pivot Friday, bond markets are now pricing in a 57% probability of a September rate hike, up sharply from 35% just a day earlier. It's a reminder of how sensitive markets are to the Fed's inflation stance. Oil's flow, not just its price, tells the real story. Brent crude rose 2% Friday to $89.70, but the Strait of Hormuz saw only 5 tankers transit this week, down from 130 pre-war. War risk insurance premiums for regional vessels are still at 7.5 to 10% of hull value, 40 times normal. That tells you no one's betting on Iran truce talks reopening the route anytime soon. Copper, meanwhile, dipped slightly Friday but is up 5% over the past month. Supply disruptions in Chile and Peru are keeping the market in deficit, and that's complicating AI data center expansion. If copper costs keep climbing, it could squeeze margins at Nvidia and AMD. Equities are showing cautious optimism. The VIX closed at 14.51 Friday, its lowest in months. That's a sign of complacency, but historically, calm markets often precede volatility. S&P 500 futures are up 0.68% this morning, NASDAQ futures 1.39%. It's more positioning than conviction. Traders are betting on tech resilience, but not with overwhelming confidence. The takeaway? Markets are in a holding pattern. The Fed's on pause, for now. Geopolitics is loud, but not yet disruptive. And crypto's waiting for its regulatory moment. The next catalyst could come from anywhere. A surprise in the Clarity Act, a breakdown in Iran talks, or a new twist in Russia-Ukraine. Until then, expect calm surfaces with coiled tensions beneath. Around the world, the Middle East remains the dominant flashpoint. Oil markets showed cautious optimism Friday after reports that Iran was intensifying truce efforts and the U.S. claimed mines in the Strait of Hormuz had been cleared. Yet only 5 tankers transited the strait this week, versus 130 pre-war. War risk insurance premiums for regional vessels stay at 7.5 to 10% of hull value, 40 times normal. The strait carries 20% of the world's seaborne oil, so even partial closures matter. If truce talks fail, oil prices could spike fast. Russia's offensive in Ukraine is escalating. Russian drones struck Kyiv for a second consecutive day, targeting residential areas and warehouses. The attacks coincide with a broader push that saw Russia gain 36 square miles of Ukrainian territory in the past week. Switzerland's neutrality referendum, which could undermine the EU's latest sanctions, adds another risk layer. If Switzerland exits the sanctions regime, it may create a loophole for Russian oil and gas to keep flowing to Europe, weakening Western leverage. The EU has already cut its reliance on Russian gas from 45% to 12%, but any backsliding helps Moscow. In Asia, Japan made a historic move. The country spent a record $98.7 billion to support the yen in coordination with the US, the largest such intervention ever. The yen had been under pressure as the Fed's hawkish stance strengthened the dollar, but this intervention, backed by U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, shows Washington's willingness to assist allies. The yen pulled back from 160.5 to 160.03 overnight, but the bigger question is whether this marks the start of sustained stabilization efforts. If so, expect more FX volatility as other nations follow Japan's lead. Finally, Venezuela's oil sector could see a major overhaul. The U.S. is in advanced talks to assume control of much of the country's proven reserves, a deal President Trump claims will substantially lower gas prices for all Americans. If successful, it would be the most significant shift in Venezuela's oil sector in decades. Chevron and other U.S. firms are already nearing deals to invest billions in Venezuelan oil fields, which could add 1 to 2 million barrels per day to global supply, enough to ease some price pressure. However, Venezuela's oil infrastructure is in disrepair after years of underinvestment, so any supply boost will take time. Still, the prospect of increased Venezuelan output is helping cap prices for now. The unifying theme? Geopolitics is driving markets more than ever, with risks piling up. From the Strait of Hormuz to Russia's drone strikes to Japan's currency intervention, the global landscape feels one misstep away from a broader crisis. The question isn't whether something will break, it's what and when. NVIDIA is making a massive bet. The company's Q2 earnings revealed $279 billion in supply chain commitments, a gamble that AI demand will keep surging. NVIDIA is also partnering with firms like Apollo and BlackRock to mobilize over $500 billion in third-party capital for AI infrastructure. The challenge? Can the world build data centers fast enough to justify this? Copper shortages and grid constraints are already slowing progress. Andreessen Horowitz is doubling down on AI's physical bottlenecks. The VC firm just launched a $600 million fund targeting AI hardware, chips, robots, cooling systems. Its first investments include a $100 million stake in a startup developing next-gen data center cooling. The move signals capital is shifting from software to the hardware underpinning AI. Japan's record yen intervention rattled FX markets. The Bank of Japan spent $98.7 billion in August to prop up the yen, the largest intervention ever. Backed by the U.S. Treasury, the move temporarily stabilized U.S. dollar to Japanese yen near 160, but traders are already positioning for another round. The yen's weakness aids Japanese exporters, but hurts consumers facing higher import costs. Gap's turnaround is gaining traction. The retailer's shares jumped after naming a new CEO for Old Navy and reporting better than expected sales. Investors are betting Gap's focus on core brands and cost cuts is working. The stock's up 20% over the past month, outpacing the broader retail sector. Chevron and Halliburton are eyeing Venezuelan oil. The U.S. is in advanced talks to take control of Venezuela's reserves, with Chevron leading a potential $5 billion investment. If successful, the deals could add 1 to 2 million barrels per day to global supply, enough to ease some price pressure. But Venezuela's infrastructure is in poor shape, so any supply increase will take time. Solana's latest upgrade targets scalability. The blockchain's new Supernova upgrade separates consensus from execution to speed up transactions. It's a technical fix for persistent congestion issues. If it works, it could strengthen Solana's position as an Ethereum competitor. Coinbase is expanding its altcoin offerings. The exchange is adding Solana, Avalanche, and Chainlink, signaling growing demand for alternatives to Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's also a bet that the Clarity Act will bring more institutional capital into crypto, and that money won't flow only into the biggest assets. U.S. mining dominance is slipping as China and Russia gain ground. Bitcoin's global hash rate is declining, and the U.S. share is shrinking due to regulatory crackdowns in Texas and New York. Miners are seeking cheaper power elsewhere, with China and Russia emerging as the primary beneficiaries. The shift could alter the balance of power in Bitcoin's network. From Washington, Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's Jackson Hole speech redefined rate expectations. He labeled inflation more concerning and warned the Fed has work to do if price pressures persist. The message was clear. Another hike is on the table. Markets reacted fast. The probability of a September rate hike jumped from 35% to 57% in a day. Treasury yields climbed across the curve, with the 2-year yield rising to 4.35% and the 10-year hitting 4.72%. Those levels keep mortgage rates elevated, around 6.66% for a 30-year loan, and raise corporate borrowing costs. But economic data is flashing caution. The August M&I Chicago PMI unexpectedly contracted, and July non-farm payrolls were revised downward. These signs suggest the economy may be slowing more than the Fed realizes. If so, Warsh's hawkishness could be mistimed, tightening just as growth weakens. The other big development is Washington's push to secure critical mineral supply chains. The U.S. House passed the Critical Mineral Supply Chain and National Security Permitting Act this week, aiming to accelerate domestic processing of lithium, nickel, cobalt, and rare earth elements. The goal is to reduce reliance on China, which dominates these markets. The bill includes $1.2 billion in loan guarantees for refineries, a modest step compared to the trillions needed for full independence, but a start. Why it matters: these minerals are essential for electric vehicles, AI data centers, and defense technologies. If the U.S. can't secure its own supply, it risks falling behind in the global tech race. The bill is part of a broader strategy that includes a $1 billion investment in a Congolese railway to secure cobalt and copper and new Defense Department initiatives to boost domestic production. It's a sign Washington now treats critical minerals as a national security priority, but also a reminder of how far behind the U.S. remains. Ignore the S&P 500. Forget Bitcoin. The real market story is the U.S. High Yield Master 2 Option Adjusted Spread, the OAS, which just fell to 2.63%, its lowest since early 2022. The OAS measures the extra yield investors demand to hold risky corporate bonds over safe treasuries. At current levels, half its long-term average of 5.16%, it signals confidence that companies won't default. But that confidence is striking given the Fed's hawkish turn and rising treasury yields. Three forces are at play. 1. Strong corporate earnings. Tech and AI firms are posting record profits. NVIDIA's $96.2 billion quarter is the standout, but it's not alone. Cash-rich companies appear safer, even as rates rise. 2. The yield hunt. With treasury yields near 4.7%, investors are chasing higher returns. High-yield bonds, paying around 7.3%, look attractive by comparison. That demand is compressing spreads. 3. The Fed's credibility gap. Markets doubt the Fed will follow through on another hike. Warsh's speech was hawkish, but traders are betting weak economic data, like the Chicago PMI contraction, will stay the Fed's hand. The risk? If the Fed does hike in September and the economy weakens further, corporate defaults could rise faster than expected. Right now, the OAS is pricing in a Goldilocks scenario: strong earnings, no recession, and a Fed that blinks before doing real damage. But if any of those assumptions break, if AI demand slows or the labor market cracks, this complacency could reverse quickly. Key watch: monitor the OAS relative to Treasury yields. If spreads start rising while Treasury yields keep climbing, it's a sign the market is finally recognizing the risks. Until then, the calm may persist, but don't confuse it with safety. Yesterday's question resolved. We asked whether Fed Chair Warsh's Jackson Hole speech would push rate hike odds higher. The answer is yes. Before the speech, markets priced a 35% chance of a September hike. After Warsh called inflation uncomfortably high and said the Fed has work to do, those odds jumped to 57%. The mechanism? Warsh's direct language removed ambiguity. The 2-year Treasury yield climbed to 4.35%, and mortgage rates, tied to the 10-year yield, now at 4.72%, stayed elevated. The result? Higher borrowing costs across credit cards, car loans, and mortgages until the Fed's inflation fight concludes. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the crypto ecosystem explained. Crypto's complexity often obscures its fundamentals. Today's market moves: Bitcoin at $77,642, down about 3.26% in 24 hours, but up roughly 21.5% over the past month. Ethereum at $2,435, down about 3% today, but up about 27.6% over the past month, and Circle's $5 billion USDC mint offer a perfect case study. At its core, crypto is digital money outside government or bank control. Bitcoin, the first and largest, functions like digital gold. Only 21 million will ever exist, and its scarcity is baked into its design. Ethereum is a global computing platform running smart contracts, self-executing agreements, and hosting thousands of tokens and applications. Stablecoins like USDC bridge the gap. Each is pegged one-to-one to a real-world dollar, offering stability in a volatile market. How it works? No intermediaries. Bitcoin moves directly from one digital wallet to another without banks. Transactions are recorded on the blockchain, a public ledger maintained by a decentralized network of computers. 24/7 trading. Unlike stocks, which trade from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern, crypto markets never close, enabling overnight and weekend moves. Volatility is standard. Bitcoin can swing 5% in a day because its value isn't tied to corporate earnings or Fed policy. Instead, it's driven by supply and demand, speculation, and macro trends, like today's stablecoin surge. The catch: crypto isn't a stock, bond, or traditional currency. It's a new asset class with distinct rules. Bitcoin often acts as a risk-on asset, rising with investor confidence and falling with fear, but also as an inflation hedge, like gold. Ethereum's value hinges on adoption of its network, akin to a toll road. Stablecoins? They're the on-ramp for institutions to enter crypto without wild price swings. Why it matters now? Circle's $5 billion USDC mint isn't just a number. It's institutions positioning ahead of the Clarity Act, a bill that could bring regulatory clarity to stablecoins. Passage could unlock a wave of new capital into crypto. Failure might trigger a pullback. Either way, stablecoins are the sleeper story of 2026. Link back. Just as cash and T-bills are the safest assets in traditional finance, stablecoins serve a similar role in crypto, where money parks when not chasing returns. And just as stocks trade on the NYSE, crypto trades on platforms like Coinbase and Binance, but with uniform global pricing. Sharper edge: Bitcoin straddles two identities, digital gold and speculative tech, which explains its volatility. Ethereum's value, meanwhile, depends on network usage. Right now, both are pulled between institutional adoption, the $5 billion USDC mint, and regulatory uncertainty, the Clarity Act. The outcome of that tension will define crypto's next chapter. Here's what to watch this week. Monday, September 7th. U.S. markets are closed for Labor Day. Crypto and FX markets remain open. Tuesday, September 8th. 3-year note auction. Yield levels will signal bets on further Fed hikes. 6-week and 26-week bill auctions. Short-term borrowing costs impact money markets and corporate cash management. Wednesday, September 9th. 9-year, 11-month note auction. Demand for intermediate-term treasuries is under scrutiny. Thursday, September 10th. 29-year, 11-month bond auction. Long-term yields affect mortgages and pensions. Weak demand could push yields and mortgage rates higher. Stay sharp out there.